Welcome, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. You have now just entered 4th Street with the 4th Street Sportsman, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. And I am one of your hosts, Kobe Moore. We also have in the studio
Smooth Austin.
We also have
Charlie, not Charles.
And I'm Charles, not Charlie. Don't mix us up. It's easy to, but don't.
Yeah. Yeah, we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and we are back for another show today talking USM and pretty much everything that happened this week. And we had a big week in sports. Big week in sports. From beach volleyball to baseball to softball to golf.
To track. To various other sports, so
and to even esports,
yeah,
and that's one that you're gonna want to listen to later because we have that and
interesting topic going on with it. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned to that, and also we will be also talking about the NIL with also the college players and their likeness and how we feel about them getting money off their likeness and what they do. So we have a great show for y'all today. We will be back in a second because our first segment will be the Eagle View again. Eagle Eye, Eagle View, whatever you want to call it. So we will be back with that. But first, let's go into Kodak Black ZZ featuring Travis Scott and Offset. This is Southern Miss Radio, and that's what you're listening to.
Hit the pans. ZZ.
Southern Miss Radio.
And welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. That was Kodak Black. Travis Scott was on the song.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there on the hook. That was Kodak Black ZZ featuring Travis Scott and Offset. And you are now on the Eagle Eye. Eagle Eye, this is our recap. And for those new listening, this is our recap show on all things USM that happened in sports. And again, we had a big weekend. And starting off, we're going to start off with beach volleyball. In the home series finale, Southern Miss took the wins over Southeastern Louisiana and New Orleans. In the first game with Southeastern Louisiana, they took a clean sweep 5-0 over Southeastern. And they beat and Southern Miss beat New Orleans in a crucial 3-2 out of the best of five series. The last match came down to it when Kylie Grandy and Abby Wilson from USM defeated Veronica Corcoran and Victoria Corcoran from New Orleans in a 5-game set to cap off the night. Grandy and Wilson had to overcome a 13-10 deficit in the final set of the nightcap before rallying for the 17-15 win in the third set. Also, that took place on Sunday. Southern Miss fell to Florida State 5-0 in the sweep on Saturday. Saturday. On Sunday, Southern Miss had three games. They fell to Tulane in the first one. Then they fell to the number 7 ranked TCU 5-0. And then once again, they fell to Tulane. Once again, 4-1. So that's what happened in beach volleyball. Also, I want to say in beach volleyball, at the home series finale, that game I was telling you guys about that came down to the last set, that was a really good game, really good set. Everybody, you should have seen the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Everybody was standing up. You had both teams on the side of the net cheering each other on. And then I also saw Brett Favre there because his daughter plays on the team in beach volleyball too. So that was a great night. Next year, because that was a home finale, I do want everybody to go to the beach volleyball games because it's a great atmosphere. But also, what happened, Charlie, in soccer?
All right, so Southern Miss Soccer and the CUSA tournament. They started out the tournament winning 2-1 against FAU, the Owls, but had problem with the other Owls, Rice. So earlier this season, Southern Miss lost to Rice 4-0, but they came out in the semifinals and put on a show. Held Rice, who are ranked number 25 in the nation, Southern Miss held them scoreless for 120 minutes and forced them to penalty kick shootouts. Southern Miss couldn't get it done and lost 5-3 in PKs, but really just an outstanding defensive performance, including senior goalkeeper Kendall Minnick had 6 saves, no goals allowed in her final game at Southern Miss. So really just clap for her and all of the 11 seniors at Southern Miss, what they did this year. Southern Miss soccer this year had the best win percentage in program history, undefeated at home, and 56 in the nation in the RPI, which is the highest in program history also. So just a historic year for Southern Miss soccer.
Also, you also talked to us about esports.
Yes. So if y'all don't know, Eagle Esports is the esports program here at Southern Miss. They've been here for 2 years, but this is their first year of competitive play. And two teams, Team Rocket League and Team Overwatch, made the NECC playoffs. It's a conference with over 80 colleges competing. So Rocket League lost, unfortunately, but Overwatch is actually going to play tonight. And really, it's just a huge boost for the program. Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. Denny Bubrig, talked to me, and he was just talking about what it means for the program. And he says it validates them, that they're for real. You know, this isn't just, you know, them playing games. They're for real. They're out to compete. So he said it's just a start, though. They're ready to compete, and it's something that we're going to have to watch in the future, definitely.
That's definitely great to hear, because I didn't even know we had an esports team until I saw where they play at. That's in the currently in the Thad Cochran Center, mm-hmm. But that's great to hear with them, too. Moving on from esports, why don't we head over to baseball? Because it was a big weekend in baseball this week, right?
Yes, it was a big weekend. First off, I want to start a recap of what happened last Tuesday against South Alabama. We completely fumbled the bag, in my opinion. But an interesting fact, we lost 4-0 to South Alabama and actually played 10 pitchers.
10?
Yes, 10 pitchers. As you all know, we lost this game, but it was mainly because Scott Berry and the rest of the coaching staff were preparing for La Tech. And let's just say this La Tech series started off with a bang and literally canceled by inclement weather on Friday, if you didn't know. So right now they are playing a doubleheader. They won the first game on today, but they played two games on Saturday, trading two apiece between the two. Southern Miss got the first win. Where we saw Reed Trimble got a phenomenal home run hit in the eighth inning against La Tech. Also, we came back and saw that we lost the game against South Alabama. It was a close one, tight one, but we gave up two runs in the fifth. That was terrible for us in game two. Game three, we came back and we completely dominated until we almost fumbled the bag again against La Tech, where we saw Gordon Ramsey eventually get the closeout, but that happened with two runners on base with the score of 12-11, where they eventually got a fly out against Manny Garcia. So now they are playing again. So big ups to baseball for kind of flipping the script right now against La Tech, because we know last two weeks from now, they lost in the series 3-1 against La Tech. So we'll see where this game goes. They are currently playing right now. Last time I checked, it was 3-1. What else we got?
Very big. Yeah, you're right. Very big series with La Tech right now. Honestly, I feel like if they beat La Tech right now, this statement. May be a statement, and I feel like they could win the division off this. But yeah. Also, Charlie, back to you. What happened in basketball?
Yeah, I'm going to go over this real quick because they're not in season, but we had a couple transfer moves. The Lady Eagles added a transfer from Arkansas, so SEC transfer Macy Weaver. But we also lost freshman Kaya Wormsley, which if you watched Southern Miss basketball this year, she was a huge player
definitely
for them.
A huge component to them. You know, coming in as a freshman, starting, that was just truly amazing to see. And she definitely, I loved her pull-up jump shot.
Yeah, she was good, man. And she's transferring to Tulane, so good luck to her. But also on the men's side, Southern Miss basketball signed Rashad Bolden. He's a 3-time state champion from St. Andrews Episcopal School. He averaged 26.5 points, did all these great things, and he adds much-needed help from the backcourt for Coach Ladner. So that's great to see. But also, sad news is that Tyler Stevenson, arguably the best player on the team.
He announced
he is entering the transfer portal, and he led the team with 14.1 points per game and 7.1 rebounds per game. He did it all for Southern Miss. So good luck to him wherever he ends up. But that's the news from basketball.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge loss on basketball side with Coach Ladner. So we'll see who we can structure his team around, because we knew coming in earlier that he was trying to structure his team around Tyler Stevenson coming into the next year.
Exactly.
So we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see. Also, before we head out, basketball. I looked up this Rashad Bolden guy.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, he's a dog, man. I also heard that he won the MVP in the Mississippi-Alabama game. The dude is a straight dog. I hope that he has the results here when he gets here to Southern Miss in the fall. But I have
a question. Do we know if he's going to be a true freshman or if he's going to be redshirted?
That is a good question.
Definitely more than likely he probably will be redshirted. But we'll have to see it. Depends on his skill of play.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
I mean, he's definitely proved himself on the high school hardwoods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we saw Jaron come in this year, Pierre Jr.
Yeah,
and play.
Yes.
Quality
excellent.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Also, Austin, what happened in track and field this weekend?
What didn't happen? I must say this. Track and field is honestly one of the best performing programs on campus right now. If you guys have not paid attention, we have one stellar athlete in the name of Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson is a 400-meter runner who completely is blowing his competition out of the wind. This is his fourth straight week winning 400 meters. Currently, he ran a 46.10 in the War Eagle Invitational in Auburn, Alabama. He did excellent. Also, the 4x4 team is completely stacked. Big ups to Landon Chalden. Also, again, Trey Johnson, Dylan Evans, and DJ Butler as they combine to set another school record in the 4x4 with a time of 3.09.45, which is excellent. So big ups to them. And Landon Chalden has actually upped his school record of the 400-meter hurdle. So all-around mid-distance is doing phenomenal. He ran a 51.71, earning him silver in the event. So big ups to them. Also on the women's side, we've seen Trinity Flagger, Viviette Green, Sevilla Varnell, and Trinity Bitson bring home a third-place finish in the 4x1 with a time of 45.68. Also, Patricia Johnson, she did excellent, too, in the women's long jump with a mark of 19 feet and 6 inches. So big ups to them. So overall, the Golden Eagles came in and combined for 16 personal best. I say that's excellent. Anytime that you can improve on your record, that is definitely stellar. And 7 top 3 finishes in an SEC Invitational. Mm-hmm. So that's big ups to them. They're doing it on the highest scale of D1. So congratulations. I'm also going to just hint at this on women's golf. They are gearing up to head to the Conference USA Championships, where they will compete this Monday through Wednesday at Lake Huveta Golf and Country Club in Dade City, Florida. Excuse me if I mispronounce these names, but congratulations to these women on making it. We have Mercedes Corbacha, Friend Champadit Dacha, Emily Cox, Valeria Pichardo, and Tinley Moretti. Congratulations to them. They will represent the ladies' golf team with Marseille Corbata averaging a stroke of 75.63, leading the way for the ladies. So congratulations to them, and hopefully they can do big things in the Conference USA championships. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, congratulations to the golf team and the track and field team. And right before we leave, what happened in softball, Mr. Charles?
Well, I've been waiting for this moment for a while. You guys were just keeping on talking about you guys' sports. Like, we got to get these softball girls over, because we played against Mississippi State recently, and we actually put up a really good game with them. We unfortunately lost 3-2. Several of our key players had some really good performances, including our pitcher McKenna Pierce, who pitched the entire game and gave up just 3 runs and allowed 4 runs and only an extra base hit. So that's definitely really stellar pitching from your girl, as well as Alyssa Davis leading the offense, going 5,500 on the plate. And freshman Maria Smith had an outstanding day, driving in an RBI on a line drive double in the top of the second inning. So much congratulations to her in that clutch RBI that she hit. And Amber Pack competed at the plate, drawing 3 walks and plating a run. So clearly this girl can hit, because I mean, I'm going to operate under the assumption that those were probably intentional walks. So, you know, I think we got ourselves a pretty intimidating character on our team right there, I'll tell you that much. However, we do got some games coming up, including the notorious South Alabama. They've been giving us lots of trouble throughout this season in football with that crazy upset at the beginning of the season. We haven't gotten a win against them in baseball or softball at all this year. It's been absolutely ridiculous putting up these people. I'm going to make a debate here that we should just forget the La Tech rivalry and say that South Alabama is our main rival, you know?
Mm, that's like a step down, man. We can't go down. We got to go up, man.
Hey, no. I mean, kudos to these to these cats, though, because they're proving.
Yes, the Wildcats.
Yeah, the Wildcats. I mean, I was just calling them cats because, you know. Cats.
They definitely wilding out on us this year.
Yeah, but I mean, like, mad respects to South Alabama for putting up such high level competition against us. We're gonna get our vengeance soon, though. I have full faith that our girls are gonna be able to avenge literally everybody coming up on Tuesday, and of course we have a game on Wednesday against Bama, who I believe maybe I'm thinking of baseball. Are they ranked?
I don't believe they're ranked right now. I might have to check again, but I don't believe they're ranked.
I might be thinking of baseball. I think baseball is ranked 25 in the country for Bama. But we're going to go ahead and take a little break here so we can get into our first debate about esports and whether we feel it should be treated as a legitimate sport or if it's just a bunch of nerds playing games. We'll be right back. We got Pop Smoke and 2 Chainz coming up right here on Southern Miss Radio. Do not go away.
4th Street.
88.5 Southern Miss Radio. What's happening?
Southern Miss Radio. Hello, man. He went off at the end of that song, didn't he? Anyway, Southern Miss Radio. That was
2 Chainz. That was at the end, right there, Joe.
I don't know who that cat was, but kudos to him. My goodness, I need to figure out who that dude is. You know, Austin's gonna look it up while I'm introducing this bit here. Welcome to the first debate for this episode, where we're going to be asking ourselves the question, is esports a legitimate sport or is it just a bunch of dudes playing computer games? But before I get into that, in a previous segment, I brought up that I don't know if I specifically said all the teams lost to South Alabama. I got to go ahead and give the girls their flowers over on the soccer pitch because they actually did get a win over South Alabama this season 1-0. So there's a little correction in case I said everybody. But shout out to the girls. They killed it, just like, you know, Charlie over here discussed.
Yeah, shout out to them again. I know Charlie discussed it, but just to lose a heartbreaker like that, 5-3 in penalty kicks to Rice is definitely a heartbreaker. But shout out to them for playing one of the best in our conference and showing out. As they did, just sorry to say that they had so many games canceled, being that they played only like 9 games in total. But they, in those games, they definitely showed team and leadership qualities that a lot of teams wouldn't be able to show in those less amount of games. So congratulations to the women's soccer team again.
Shout out to the women's soccer team. But back to the esports.
Yeah, back to the original point.
Charlie, you said that the Overwatch team and the Rocket League team both made the playoffs, or was it just the Overwatch team?
It was both.
It was both. Both. Sweet.
But the Overwatch team are still competing. He said that the Rocket League team was eliminated in the first round. Mm-hmm.
Yes, first round.
But did we know what the score of that was?
I don't, but they lost to the number 1 seed. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But all right. Anyways, jumping into esports, you know, there's a common stereotype, I guess you would say, that esports is, like you said, you know, a bunch of nerds sitting around. And it's something I've talked to players, and, you know, it's something that players bring up. So it's something they're aware of. And really, you know, you were, Kobe, you were saying that you didn't even know much about the Eagle Esports being on, here on campus or what they were doing.
Yes.
So there's still a lot unknown about esports, and to people that don't know anything about it, it's unfamiliar grounds, especially if you haven't touched video games. So there's a lot of stuff going around and a lot of misconceptions or stereotypes around esports. So I just wanted to bring up to y'all what y'all thought of esports as, you know, compared to other sports. Is it legitimate as a sport, and where do you see it going in the future?
Well, I definitely see esports as it is, as one of the fastest growing competitive environments today. I mean, we're seeing professional gaming leagues appear all over the U.S. playing all sorts of different games, and
not just over the U.S. all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world. Yes. Like there's teams in Japan and in Germany and in so many different places. I think that eventually you get to a point where even deniers of it being a proper sport have to admit that this is definitely not just a fad or anything like that. It's not like this is going to be going away anytime soon. I kind of was on the fence initially about it, but I've definitely jumped to the side that it is a legitimate sport and should be taken seriously and should be treated as such. I don't know. What about you, Austin?
My question would be just first off this. What is your definition of a sport? Is it more physical, or do we think of sports as mental? Because as we know, a video game is definitely mental more than physical, you know, and you also got to know how to move your hands and which keys to hit and just all of that things. Because if that's the case, wouldn't we call like chess or checkers a sport? Because it's more of a mental thing. It's just a mental challenge.
You know, sports. It's funny that you bring that up, because there are people who do treat chess as, there's a whole hierarchy of ranks that you can obtain, with the highest being a grandmaster of chess. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's so many different rankings within games like chess, and it's not like you're really exerting that much physical effort. I mean, you're literally just picking up a thing and then just putting it down over and over again. And I'm going to go ahead and bring up a sort of a similar situation with games like billiards, where you're not really exerting very much effort, but you're definitely putting a lot of thought into what you're doing. You're really aiming and making sure that where you're shooting your ball is going to be accurate and does what it needs to. And, you know, it's definitely a lot more skill-based rather than like, oh, I can be like a big buff dude and I can probably do okay, you know?
I said all that to say just basically what I asked, mental and physical, is and challenging yourself. I feel like a sport is anything that challenges you, not just physical as we're used to, but more so of, you know, you have your old school games like chess. I'm just throwing back Tetris also. Some consider that e-games, e-sports. We know that back in the day, Tetris was a very, it was one of those games that mentally challenged you a lot and got on a big scale. So I'm saying that to say that in my definition of sports, it's anything that challenges you physically and mentally. So we have to consider those sports, because most guys wouldn't just be able to come in and play those games. You have to be natural thinkers. You have to be natural. You have to be on a professional level, because not an amateur can, any amateur can play these games. It's more of a mental thing, and it's muscle too. If we're thinking about it, even though it's just using your hands, it's just muscle memory. Like just with shooting a basketball, you have to remember the muscle memory, like you have to remember the muscle memory of the controller. So I think this is definitely taken seriously, or should, because it's way more money in this than some other sports that's been around for hundreds of years. So if we take that into account, you look at it and it's definitely a sport, because just not off just off the money, but the mental side of it, the practice, anything that's really takes to me, you have to put in work mentally and all of that. It's you can say it's similarly a sport, you know, even if it's just professional day in life of just stocks or something like that. If you're mentally competing against other people, it's a sport. And that's what, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I feel that esports is.
And I think that before I'm gonna let you talk, Kobe. Promise. But I just wanted to bring up to any haters of esports, do yourselves and us a favor. Look up some highlights from different professional and semi-professional esports leagues and stuff. what these gamers are doing, not just the average player can do. I mean, we're talking about people who have broken down the game, figured out to a T what the game's mechanics are, what mm-hmm. you can and can't do to give yourself an advantage. And versus like, oh, I'm going to watch my baby cousin play Rocket League, and he's just going to kind of hit it. But whereas with the esports guys, I mean, you got people like running off of the walls and, you know, doing all these crazy setups with assists. And it's absolutely crazy the level that these players are competing at. If you were to put an esports team against, you know, just two random gamers, those gamers aren't going to have a chance because these are next level competitive gamers. So
well, I wouldn't say that. I don't know about that because again, with all due respect to the esports community, as much as I would love to say this is a sport and I love video games too, mm-hmm. as much as the next man, I don't agree. I believe it's more of a club, like how is bowling clubs and all that stuff, bowling leagues and all that. I think it's more of a club and just an organization just to do. I don't believe it's a full sport. Now, I agree with your whole thing with it being more of a mental sport because because with video games, it's more mental too. Especially because I know everybody in here has played video games before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you're playing it, you go through a string of emotions. You go from, man, I'm messed up. Like,
how can you not say that's a sport though? Because it's like you're going through the emotions of just a physical sport. If you get what I'm saying, it's just more on not just physical, but it's more on the mental side. Because you still have to regroup to play. What I'm saying?
Wait, what was you saying?
You go first. You finish, and then I'm gonna come back.
I just think it's more of an activity than a sport.
Okay.
I just think of it as more of an activity than a sport. And this is not to slight the esports team or the esports community. I just think of video games as more of an activity more than a sport. And it's not. And again, I know sports is not just physical; it's mental. That's how I feel about baseball. Baseball is a mental sport.
Esports, but
it's physical. Baseball, it may be a mental sport, but it's physical. You're running
the
bases.
Esports is not physical. Physical, because you got to realize you have the controller in your hand and you have to move those actual
keys to get to those, to be professional
on that level.
I get it, but I get it, but it's not as physical as baseball, football, basketball, or anything like that, because they go through training. In video games, you really don't have to go to as much training.
That's what I was going to come back.
Listen, I'm going to just say this. Let's just say this. A bicycle, right? You have to learn to ride a bicycle. That takes training. You have training wheels. You go through the process. You take those off. Then you have to regroup. You may fall a couple times, but then you have to regroup and actually ride that bike. These games actually have tutorials. If I gave you a new game right now and told you to play it and go online, you would get your butt kicked. You would have to go through tutorials and training to actually get to that point where you can be a professional. So that's all I'm saying.
I'm actually glad you said that because then again, in training, it's different because you got to read a manual in a video game, right?
Not really.
They got tutorials.
You don't need to read manuals. Go back to it.
The levels that they're dealing with at that point, you're going beyond just tutorials. Yeah. You're figuring out ways to, like I said, down to a T, how a game's mechanics works so that you can utilize those particular aspects of those games to your advantage.
Yeah, Charlie, what were you about to say?
That's something I want to bring up, Kobe. It's not just you. This is the purpose of the debate, I think. It's just to make people aware. How many times do you think, let's bring up Eagle Esports, that the team practices, let's say team Overwatch practices a week?
Practice as many times as the football team practices.
Exactly.
If not more.
They are practicing. They're in that arena or they're on their computer every day of the week, basically, putting in the work. And like Charles said, they are going into the game's mechanics. They're finding out roles. It's not just about individual skill. And that's where it becomes a sport to me, because you can be skilled at the game, but you have to learn how to work with your teammates.
Absolutely.
And it's a team sport. That's really where it becomes a sport to me, because you are working together to find out your skills and your attributes that you can contribute to a team and how that works best for your team to be the other team.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say this too, just piggyback off what you're saying. If you think about this, anything could be considered a sport where there is competition. It's just a matter of mindset, mainly, because if we go to businesses, McDonald's and Wendy's, right? They're competing. They have a group of team marketers and of managers. They are working together to build a team attributes, the correct team attributes to be the better franchise. You see what I'm saying? So it goes back to academics. You know, you look at somebody, you competing, I'm like, oh, Kobe just got a 100. I got a 95. Next test, I have to go beat him. So it's more of a mental side of things. So anything to me could be considered a sport where there is competition. And there is definitely a lot of competition in esports. That's what makes it, the future outlook on it, so great.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I'm actually glad you said that, because, all right, since you think that anything could be a sport, do you
it
think,
is.
Do you think, all right, if you put two book, if me and Charles are, if you put a book in front of me and Charles, like two different books in front of me and Charles, and we're reading that, and we're reading to see who can get to the end fast, that's a sport?
A competitive
reading. Anything that has competition to me is a sport. Just like any, just imagine this. We got our show right now, 4th Street Sports. We may be competing against 3rd Avenue. You see what I'm saying?
3rd Avenue Sports.
We're working to be the better podcast, the better radio show. So in that, we have to compete against them. We have to come with different ways to be the better show. So we have to market ourselves, merchandise ourselves and all of that. So when we look at that, it's a sport, because we're competing against somebody else to be the better show.
But it's a difference between competition and sports, though. They don't always go hand in hand all the time. Because guess what? One thing I've been watching with Versus is where you get two of the best artists and you put their catalog together.
Yeah.
And to see which better. That's not a sport to me.
That is more lackadaisical. That is just going through a back in time, or a blast to the past.
But any type of competition could be a sport, though.
Yes, and what I mean by that is any two people that look at each other as a threat to each other are competition. If I look at you as a threat, I'm competing against you, and you look at me as a threat, that's a sport.
But they could look at each other, but again, back to that versus thing, they could look at each other as a threat.
And we're talking about it in a good way. We're talking about it in a good way, also. Just wanted to state that, but yeah.
Y'all got philosophical about the meaning of sports, but anyways, you brought up a good point, Kobe. That was just our talk about esports. It's definitely a growing sport, and we're going to have to see where it goes into the future. Yeah.
And again, it's no disrespect to the esports community. I actually like it, because I've seen 2K leagues, I've seen Call of Duty leagues, I've seen all these different leagues. It's no disrespect to them. I just think it's more of an activity than a sport, but shout out to the Southern Miss esports team, and I do hope that they get all the way to their championship. And we're rooting for them. So, but that's how I feel. There's no disrespect to them. It's just how I feel.
Absolutely. And one more thing that I wanted to bring up before we close out this segment here. You know, you were talking about, you know, what it takes to be training for it and stuff. You know, because you're talking about like, oh, if I want to play basketball at a high level, I go to a basketball camp. I think very soon we're going to be seeing esports training schools pop up.
Yes, they already happened. You got like Fortnite training classes, dude.
Fortnite training classes. And I'm pretty sure there was a school in Texas that like offered full ride scholarships.
Yeah, that's something
play.
I wanted to add is that MHSAA, the high school association in the state, is starting to offer scholarships and training for these athletes or competitors.
Yeah, just to say to the competitors.
Next level. So it's being recognized kind of in the same structure as college sports, other college sports are recognized.
Yes.
So definitely interesting future coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? Obviously, we could keep talking about this all freaking evening long, but we got to take a break so we can catch our breaths up in here. Yeah, we're a little bit parched from talking so much. Yeah. So we're going to play you some Drake right here on Southern Miss Radio.
Don't cry later.
Don't go away.
4th Street
Sports.
Oh, yeah, it's 88.5 Southern Miss Radio.
Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Talk show. And it is one of your co-hosts, Smooth Arts, with you. I'm going to hand it over to Charlie. What do we got, Charlie?
All right, for our second debate, we're going to be bringing up NCAA's name, image, and likeness rules, because it's been a debate for years, not just in players, but with, you know, coaches, everybody involved in the NCAA, fans. They want it. And some people don't want it. So why we're talking about it is because Mississippi actually passed a bill, not passed, but the House and Senate passed it, and it's sitting on Governor Tate Reeves' desk right now. And if Governor Tate Reeves signs it, we would become the seventh state to allow athletes in the state to profit off of their NIL, name, image, and likeness. So could be a very big thing, and it could be in effect by next football season. So yep. What do y'all think about this?
Oh, wait, and before we get into that, they said if we do sign, Mississippi will join California, Colorado, mm-hmm. Florida, Michigan, Nebraska, and New Jersey as the newest state to pass this law protecting the rights of the student athletes to be paid for their commercial use mm-hmm. of their name, image, and likeness. Yeah,
just a friendly reminder that in New Jersey, you can get paid as a college athlete, but you cannot pump your own gas.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's interesting. Did you mention Maryland? Also, Maryland and Georgia are on the same track as Mississippi, doing the same thing. So definitely that's big news. But my first impressions, like some of you guys said before we came on here, it's more of an endorsement type mm-hmm. thing of, you know, this is actually one of the smartest things I think Mississippi has done in a while.
definitely.
Other than probably the flag.
Yeah, but,
definitely.
That's probably the smartest thing.
Which was also NCAA press. The NCAA yes. press that. And yes. the athletes here.
Yeah, that is true. Starting with Colin Hill from Mississippi mm-hmm. State.
Yeah, he was a big part of that.
But I'm going to say this. I think this is one of the best things that Mississippi has done, because it actually brings in more people wanting to come here, not just looking at Mississippi as this state where, oh, it's nothing much there. Why do I have to come here? But it actually opens the door as one of us being some of the first states that's adopting this, and it's coming in and just allowing players to be like, hey, Mississippi, you can make your money here off your likeness. You will definitely be a star here, being with your talent, or just pitching this to any major recruit, 5-star, 4-star, whatever mm-hmm. you have it out of state and in the state. So it's a big thing. I think it's innovative for Mississippi.
Yes. For once, innovative and Mississippi have gone in the same sentence, ladies and gentlemen. what a moment to be alive.
what I gotta say about it, it's the quote LeBron James. It's about time. It's about time that that college athletes are getting paid for their likeness, because I feel like they put a lot of money in the school's pockets. And this is not just Mississippi. I'm talking statewide mm-hmm. across the nation. Because when I think of college teams like LSU, I think of college teams like Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio State, Michigan. I think of them teams, and you look at when you look at them games on Saturday, you see pack houses.
Yeah, some of those games are as packed as a regular NFL pro.
Or if not more.
Yeah, exactly. In the case of Michigan Stadium, it's even bigger than every single – I mean, it's literally the biggest football stadium.
Yeah.
Outbeating even the Dallas Cowboys.
A.K.A. the Big House. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Penn State is another huge stadium.
Oh, absolutely.
It is definitely packed in there, too. But I got to just say this, too. Also, I want to just give a big ups to the actual states, because if we look at this, the states are taking the power out of the NCAA hands. Yeah. And a lot of this huge turning point, whether we know it or not, was actually because of the coronavirus situation. We know that we had teams, conferences operating as the NCAA. You've seen a lot of conference play games this season. You've seen a lot of things of that matter. It's like the NCAA is losing grip, so they have to come with terms of accommodating these players now. So this is forcing their hand, taking the power out of this big corporation is NCAA, because we know how fraudulent just their whole run of this whole – just the run of their organization is – it's kind of, you know, it has been fraudulent against college players. And now that we're seeing states take it out of their hands, they're actually profiting off that money more than the organization of the NCAA.
Also, I want to add that states are not necessarily the ones, you know, jumping out to do this. Representative, this is a quote from one of our representatives, Scott Bounds. He said, "I don't think any state is happy about this legislation, but we're seeing this as a necessity." And it's because, Austin, you brought it up, they don't want, you know, recruits from other states going to those states. So they see other legislations, you know, passing these bills, and they're saying, oh no, these recruits could be leaving to those other states, so we need to have something to offer here. And you know how seriously Mississippi takes football, especially SEC.
Definitely.
That's something I want to bring up too, is because here at Southern Miss, you know, you have big SEC teams, State and Ole Miss. What does that mean for Southern Miss athletes at Conference USA who are already not getting the exposure? What are the differences going to be from SEC to Conference USA with what they're able to make off of their image and likeness?
We touched on this briefly during our first episode, talking about how uneven the conferences are, you know, talking about certain conferences having advantages over other conferences. So, I mean, that's definitely a really good point to bring up, because there is going to be a debate of, okay, how much can they make, you know, because I think that eventually we're probably going to get to the point where we have like a cap, right? Where you're like, right, each school has a set amount of money that they can use to give students their NIL payments.
Obviously it's going to come with those caps, but I'm gonna say, going back to you, Charlie, I think that it's going to stay the same. If we know that we are a lesser team compared to Mississippi State and Ole Miss, hopefully that can change, but
financially
and skill wise, but I think for that, we'll have to, in my honest opinion, Southern Miss is going to have to up their competition, and that means probably joining a Power 5 conference, even though that's kind of hard to see right now.
Yeah.
That would be the only way that they can truly compete with these, because we know that Power 5 conferences are on another level, and we look at Southern Miss as, you know, we kind of going to be on the out if we're looking at it in the future, because you have NFL stars. I'm just drawing it back to Deion Sanders. Just imagine, these HBCUs are actually getting exposure on a tremendous level right now, and we see what Ole Miss and Mississippi State already has to offer. So we have to step up some way. It has to be marketing-wise, financially-wise, and I must say that it is still a lot of money to be made here, but we have to make a drastic decision if these chances are going to come, you know. But obviously, I feel that the way that we can market ourselves is that we see a star. He's going to have to come to Southern Miss, and we're going to say, you come in here, you will be an automatic starter. You will have this. That's the best way that we can pitch this, being that, you know, we don't really truly have a supreme star offensively, or you go back to Frank Gore.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. I'm going to say, you know, you see Frank Gore getting national recognition.
Yes.
He's on CBS Sports, national outlets. So if this gets passed, you know, I'm thinking of guys like Frank Gore. They are marketable, and they're going to take opportunity of this. I don't know Frank Gore personally, but if he does, it would be a smart move. And that's what this legislation really allows, is for athletes to individually be able to profit off their likeness. It's not some, you know, complex where NCAA is, you know, paying, like, that has been mentioned, which I don't think really should happen. I think this is the smarter way to go about it.
And also, I think that I hope that with this rule that they could profit off their likeness, I hope this limits those violations, the NCAA violations that I hate, because I've seen too many talented players get demonized and criticized because of this. Chase Young, who was the number two pick in the draft last year, he got in trouble for a violation, which his uncle bought a ticket for his girlfriend to come see him play, and he almost got suspended. People were looking at him, and that could have cost him his draft stock. You look at guys like Johnny Manziel, who got in trouble for signing an autograph, and I think he sold it.
Yeah.
Then you look at other, and it's just countless other violations. But you think about it now. Think about the stars from the past. And you know what? What about Brett Favre? What if he was playing right now in 2021, and he became not only the biggest star at Southern Miss, but the biggest star in college football right now? And he wanted to make money off his likeness. What if he wanted to make money off his likeness in he had got out of violation from the NCAA, and that hurt his draft stock and all that. That I just think about the past stars that became something off
right.
that became something.
I think when you say that Laramie Tunsil, what happened with him in the mm-hmm. NFL draft, it wasn't just the video that happened at the draft. You know, it was also right. Rumors about him taking money from Ole Miss, and that never really got confirmed. But there was whole investigations into what they call bag men, where these schools are giving bags of cash to players. So this has been something that's been happening a long time in the NCAA, and hopefully this, may be able to kind of erase that sketchy, dark part of the NCAA.
I don't know. The Laramie Tunsil situation was drastically different from other situations because that essentially became a doxing. Was what that was, and that just.
I think it brought it to the surface, though. It definitely brought it to the surface.
Yeah, and I remember shortly after that whole incident went down, the bag men series on I believe it's on YouTube got started out. It has like 4 or 5 episodes of. It's actually great. A really interesting series. If you guys haven't checked it out, we can. This is eventually gonna wrap up here, but during the next break, we're gonna be. We're going to look it up so we can plug it so people at home can watch it. Because like I said, it is absolutely fascinating, because these people, these bag men, they're not doing it out of spite for these schools or anything. They're doing it because they genuinely care about these students and want to give these students the opportunities that perhaps they weren't afforded back when they were growing up,
Especially because guess what? If a guy, I'm just going to say, if a kid from a very poor background or bad background, if he makes a name for himself in college football and people want to like help him get money, like say if he has an autograph signing like that and he gets paid for it, he shouldn't have to get a violation from him. And plus also I just hope that players could just get their money though too, because college athletes have it tough. We have it tough as college students, but college athletes, they have it tough because they got to play a sport.
Yeah, they're walking on thin nails. Is it thin nails or what's the saying? Walking on thin air or something. Yeah,
walking on eggshells.
Yeah, I couldn't find the right word for it, but yeah, definitely with that, they have a lot. The environment that sometimes the environment that they can be put in, and it's a lot.
SEC athletes, this is just throwing this out here too. I think Arkansas, I saw, might have been Alabama, but each player is worth over a couple $100,000 to school. They don't receive a penny. Of course, they get scholarships and everything, but
that's nowhere near.
With the NCAA in the past, striking down exchanges of $100, $200, that's nothing. It's insane. So hopefully we'll see this kind of fix.
And also before we go, because we are going over time now, but I think that I feel like the reason this is also happening, because you look at the NBA right now, a lot of kids are not, they're skipping the college process. They want to go to the G League and also help with that. And it's mostly because of the whole college thing, and that they're not getting paid. They're not doing this. They're not making money off likeness.
It's a very smart investment now.
It's a very smart investment now to skip the college process and go to the G League before going to the NBA.
Before you close it, Kobe, I just want to say that's what is kind of scaring the NCAA right now, because these pro leagues are actually opening up new lanes and new outlets, especially NBA.
Yeah.
MLB has actually already started doing it, because you can already play in MLB in high school, coming out of high school. So it's like the true counterpart of it is, if the NFL actually decides to have a development league on a certain level like that, a lot of schools are in trouble.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because we know that most of 50% of sales, or even higher than that, are just strictly off of football. So, it's going to be very, very strange if that happens. So NCAA is very much in trouble.
Right. But that was, because we are going to overtime, but we got to end it, cut it right there, ahead and get our one last break in before we hit to the outro. But, I just hope everything's good. But we are heading back to break, but you are listening to the 4th Street Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio.
This is Southern Miss Radio.
WUSM, Hattiesburg.
And we're back. Very short break, but we're back. And I hate to say it, but it's that time now, man. It's that time. It's time to head out. This has been a really good show. Great show. We had a lot. We talked about a lot. We unpacked a lot on this show today. But we have to go. We all got to get something to eat. We all got to finish up on our work. On our work and everything, but it's time to go. But also, before we leave, we got to give our flowers out to everybody too. Madison Flamia and Charlie, help me out with this name. It's very tough to say.
So yeah, you got Madison right, but
Nulu Bablu Shisha Huba.
Excuse us if we did mess your name up. But they both have made this Conference USA All Tournament team from the soccer team. So
outstanding defense.
So we applaud them and we give them their flowers now. But also we also want to send some good luck to Ito Smith. He got released by the Atlanta Falcons last week. We all know Ito Smith as one of the best players from USM in the past couple years, but he has got released by the Atlanta Falcons after 3 years, I believe. And we wish him good luck and good tidings, and we hope he finds a team before the season starts. Shout out to Ito Smith. Yeah. We hope he finds a team. But we have to get out of here, y'all. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. We are the 4th Street Sportsmen. My name is Kobe.
Charles.
What?
Oh. I'm messing with you. It's Smooth Oz.
Charlie, not Charles. Remember that.
Yeah, and I'm Charles, not Charlie. Don't mix us up.
And this has been the 4th Street Sportsman. It's been the 4th Street Sports Show. And before we leave it, we about to hit y'all with some Tupac California love. But you've listened to the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio. Peace and love, everyone.
Adios.
We out.